Well, this morning I'm going to talk about Exodus 23, and we're going to go into verse 27 and read on from there. But thank you, Jesus. Let's pray here before we get into the Word. Lord, we thank you for this morning, for your Word, God, for your anointing, for your blessing here in our lives, for this place, this building, this beginning, this start, God, as we start marching towards the new year and the launch of this ministry. We thank you for your plan, God. Adjust us, teach us, touch us, guide us, change us. Rebuke us, put bad things out and good things in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, this says a cool thing. It says, I will send my fear before you. This is a good thing. If you're in a fight, you want God sending his fear before you. This always helps. I've been in fights myself. It always helps if the fear goes before you. I had a fight where I came home one day, and my brother was beat up, bloody. I mean, ripped shirt. If you get your shirt ripped, you're tore up underneath the shirt too. So he had scratches where the shirt was ripped. He was beat up on his face. He was bloody. One of the first things to bleed if you don't know when you get in a fight is your lip and your nose. It was one of the fastest things to bleed when you get in a fight. So his face looked like it was worse probably than it was when I saw him. I caught him outside the house, and I was just arriving back home. I was worldly. I had not been yet back to church. I just want to clarify, this was not, Pastor John does not go out doing this now. If, you know, this is decades ago. But anyway, he's standing there. I said, what happened? He said, I got jumped over by the park. I said, you got jumped by the park? By what? By who? I don't know who. It was a group of guys. So I didn't have a gun at the time. And I grabbed the closest thing I thought was a weapon by me, which was a stick. And I went running through the neighborhood, yelling and shouting for the guys who just beat my brother up, just not knowing who these guys could possibly be. And I knew where the park was, but I wanted to make sure that they could hear me coming, because then the fear of whatever was coming would start to stir like a Goliath to the army. It would start to stir on them. And I wanted them to realize this is not going to be guerrilla tactics. This is not going to be sneaky in the forest. I'm charging at you, and I'm loud. And I'm going to be dangerous to at least one of you.
Yeah.
When I got close to them, close enough to the park where I could see them, they were all literally just still sitting around in the park messing with stuff. It was night. So people sitting around at a park at night, if you don't know this already, it's not normal. Probably not good things happening. You know, I did a great many drug deals at night in places where normally people would go to have fun. And I was doing drug deals because I'm like, hey, nobody's coming to this basketball court tonight. Again, not saved when I did this. I'm not into drug dealers. When I saw them, I yelled at them and I said, hey, you guys, you know, you're the guys that I'm yelling at. And of course, I taunted them on with things that I said. Well, they started to get up and come at me. But it wasn't like me to Ernesto. It was like, you know, five or six times at least before the park where they were. And the person who was on the closest to me started running at me, as you would imagine. They have a whole group of them, right? Started running at me. So I started running at him. And one of the tactics I used back in those days was I would break people's knees or their legs because then it stops the fight right away. Again, not bragging on myself, wasn't saved. I'm just making a point. It's amazing that no matter how fighty that person is, if you break their leg, they're just done. Immediately done. Like they quit, they hit the buzzer, it's already over. It's like, I'm tapping, leave me alone. So the first guy, I hurt him, and then I grabbed him right here, and I just grabbed him and dragged him at the next guy. The next guy, you could already see the fear was going before me, because he's like, oh, he's already done, that first guy. And they were staggered. Thank God. If you have five guys around you, you're going to get hit with all kinds of something. Doesn't matter how good you are. But they were staggered running at me, and you could see in his face and his eyes he lost fight, which is bad because I was charging at him. And he noticed it. And then after him, I dropped his friend, and I started running at the other ones. And they lost all fight and decided, nope. You know, whatever that was, I don't want any part of that. Looks like Bill's down for the count. Like, I don't know if Fred's ever going to play basketball again. Whatever just happened. And the fear went in front of me.
Yeah.
I taught all of them no lesson that day whatsoever. I've learned that over time. I didn't teach them a lesson. But I certainly did get revenge for my brother for whatever good that was. But the fear going before you of God is good. That means when your situation's coming up and the devil's trying to get you, you want the fear of God going in front of you. I've had people in the world stand up strong against me and use worldly language and use worldly anger and use worldly hate to try and intimidate me like a Goliath. And I'm telling you, when the fear of God gets on them and goes before you, it is powerful. It is powerful. It will shake their mountain because the whole world is a big barking dog. It's a big loud fest of look how important we are. And the fear of God, or the realization, if you want to know what the fear of God is, it's the acknowledgement, the awe of who God is. So God isn't trying to have you hobble in a corner, shaking in fear of him because the fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God isn't trying to get you to shake in fear. He's trying to get you to have the awe and the understanding that he actually exists and what him existing means. So the fear of God goes before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and will make all your enemies turn their backs on you. Guys, there's not a better position to be in than the guy who wants to fight you being like, turn his back to you. Yeah. That right there, if you're in a fight, you're just like, you're in all kinds of over. If you've ever seen a fight, I'm telling you, you get your back exposed. You ever try to read something on your back? Yeah. I mean, I've watched people. You ever have an itch just right in the middle between your shoulder blades and you're like, it's hopeless. It's impossible to reach this. You ever seen somebody acting like a dog on the corner of a wall or something? Yeah. Or a door or an anything. A makeshift little back scratchers people make out of a hanger or something, anything. So he's going to make your enemies turn their backs on you. This is for your advantage. And I will send the hornets before you. This is, man, God is using everything in his resources. Imagine you're that army. Hornets are coming. Like, what's that sound? Oh, that's God's first line. Hornets. Are you serious? Yeah, you ever got stung by one? You ever seen 100 more coming?
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of armor you're wearing. You're like, I'm done. I'm running that way. I think I figured out how some of their backs got turned to them.
Yeah.
Because you ever seen somebody? You ever seen a bee come to somebody who's big and tough, but a bee starts coming? Yeah. You've all been to somebody, I can already tell by the look in your face. You've been swatting at the thing you can't even possibly hit, and you stand up. You ever been that person? I've been there. If a bee's there, you're not just like nonchalant, like, you know, bees don't even bother me anymore because when I was probably 9 years old, I got stung by two different bees in the same summer. And we had ground bees, which I didn't even know was a thing. So I got really frustrated that I found out there was bees that lived in our ground of our yard. I got so angry, I took a baseball bat and for the next month and a half killed bees with a baseball bat. Well, you got to imagine, I got stung so many times in that month and a half. By the time I was done, when I get stung by a bee, it doesn't do anything. So I still have that, maybe due to my stubborn, you know, thank God I got delivered.
Amen.
When I got delivered.
Amen.
Let's get back to the Bible. How about it? And I will send the hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. This is awesome here. He's driving out, don't pay attention to the names of the people he's driving out so much. It's a bunch of ites and stuff, but nowadays it's different things. You have different things you need driven out from your life, different things you need to get away from you in your life, different enemies that come. Yeah. Sometimes you have that one friend you're not supposed to still have, but you still pay attention to, and they come in, and even as they're being driven out, you kind of don't want them to go, but you know they're not supposed to be there in your life. Sometimes you have that thing that you have a connection to, but as God's trying to drive that thing out, he's telling you here, and it's very powerful, he's saying, I'm not going to do it all in 1 year. This is important because if he did it in 1 year, if he just, imagine God takes the people of Israel to the promised land, and he gets them to the edge of the promised land, and there's Jericho. And they go walking around Jericho, and the walls fall, and everybody runs out of the promised land. They have the whole promised land. They don't have the ability to defend it. They don't have the ability, they don't have any kind of idea of what's going on the other side of the promised land. They only know what's happening around Jericho right now. They don't have the personnel, they don't have the access, they don't have the know-how. And he talks about how the beasts are going to rise up if he did it, and it would become too much for them.
Come on.
Now, this is important. Now, listen to these words. This is God speaking to the people, giving them a message, and he's speaking to us. He said this, little by little, I will drive them out from before you. Listen, sometimes you want everything done right now. You want every answer right now. You ever had that where you prayed to God and you wanted him to do something and he didn't do something and you're just upset with God? Everybody has, so I'm saying it for a reason. God, show up. God, do this. God, answer that. We all have our, you know, butler ring God up and tell him to do something, a story. And we get upset because it didn't all happen right now. God, does God want you blessed? Anybody know the answer? Yes, he does. Does God want you increased? Yes. Does God want you healthy? Yes. Does God want you strong? Yes. Does God want you, right?
Yeah.
But there are many things that you have coming before you still yet to come. Many battles, many trials, many tribulations that you have that are going to come your way that God will help deliver you from, but it may not be instantaneous. It may not be. Some of them are. Guys, I've watched people get healed of things right in the moment, right then. And I've watched people get healed over a day. And I've watched people get healed over a week. Different things, different people. I've watched some of the most severe cased people get healed of things that they should not have been able to be healed of all in a moment. I've watched cancer go. I've watched growths go. I've felt them go. I've watched limbs get healed and all kinds of things happen, from broken things to sprained things to simple little things like a headache. But headache's not a big deal to you till you have one. That's just like a toothache or anything like that. It's not a big deal till you have one. You're like, oh, it's just a toothache? Yeah, get a toothache once.
Yeah.
One toothache will make your whole world seem different.
Come on.
I say this all the time. Just walk through your house at night, decide you're going to turn all the lights off and jog. Kick that teeny little toe into a teeny little lampstand, and you decide how small the small little thing that doesn't mean nothing in your body is to you. That little thing will cry out loud, and it'll be the only thing you think about. You won't even remember you have hands and a head. All you'll think about is that toe. The whole world revolves around that toe for a little bit. That's the way a toothache is. You get a toothache, everything. You notice it everywhere. You have a headache, even breathing. You're like, if I could just stop breathing, it wouldn't move. Until you've had a headache. This is what I'm telling you. As God can deliver you from anything, when he does it, it feels awesome as the enemy goes. Israel constantly, if you read the Bible and you read through the rest of the story and you hear about what happens after this point, this is the Exodus we're hearing about right now. But when you read about what happens afterwards, they constantly had to fight battles. We're supposed to be warriors for a reason. Christians have to get over this, I'm not ready to fight garbage. I'm not ready to stand up and fight. I can't believe another fight came my way. Guys, it is going to be all the time. Let God strengthen you.
Yes.
Let him go before you. Let the enemy already be running, but don't be afraid to fight. If you're afraid to fight, you're going to be just like what happened to those guys that I chased down. You'll be on the wrong side of a beating if you're afraid to fight. If you're afraid to fight, you're going to be in a hole like all the people that were there when David showed up with Goliath, and all you're going to be is in a hole going nowhere, doing nothing, letting the enemy intimidate you. That's not how we do our fight. We need God going before us.
Amen.
Now it says this, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased. This word increased means to mature. It means to become established. It means that when you become able, this word increased means when you have grown up. You hear what I'm saying? God is waiting for you to grow up to where you're able so that then you will say this, inherit. Inherit is good. Say it, inherit. Inherit means that you're going to get, you ever met somebody that inherited something? I have. I've met people that inherited wealth. I've met people that have inherited expensive cars and houses. And every time they get that, you look at that person like, oh, well, you didn't work for it. I'm just telling you how people are. But it says this, that you're going to inherit the land. That's going to be given to you. In other words, God's already saying, listen, the enemy may be there on your land.
Come on.
But it's my land.
Come on.
Okay, it's not theirs. They're just there.
Come on.
You hear what God's saying?
Yeah.
This place in your life, this land in your life, this battlefield of your life, the enemy may be there, but it's not the enemy's land. It's my land. This is what God's saying. So when I drive them out, when I get them out of your land, it will be in the time you are ready, when you're matured, when you have grown up enough, that you are able to inherit this land and actually take care of it and not lose it. You may have a lot of seed in the ground, but you don't have a lot of fruit coming up yet, because if God was to give you $1 million today, what would you do with it? If that's your, let's just say in the bank of heaven, you have $1 million and it's there, because probably some of us have well more than that. Christians tend to be good givers. Let's just say you have $1 million in the God bank warehouse that you've heard the Bible. What about pressed down, shaking together, Lord? What about running over, Lord? What about I'm supposed to be blessed? What about men giving to my hand? What about it, God? And God's saying, child, if I gave you your inheritance now, you would go and sleep with the pigs. If I gave you your inheritance now, you would waste it on things and you wouldn't even know where it goes, because you don't know where the $5 that was in your wallet or purse went from yesterday. If you can't budget the little, how in the world can I give you the much? I'm trying to protect you now from what I'm trying to give you. And if you don't do well with the little bit, how can I give you the much? I'm not going to let you waste your whole inheritance. Instead, I'm going to deliver you little by little by little until you mature. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is what God's trying to tell us. You ever seen somebody? I saw somebody today. There was a family dynamic going on. There was a grandpa. Now, this could have just been a really, really old dad. But the age of the kids made me feel like this is grandpa for sure. This wasn't slightly gray here. This was full on white. You know what happens after gray? The next shade over? That's what was happening. So this was grandpa, and there was two young kids with him. And these two younger kids, the younger kids were a little bit older than Johnny, but they were sitting there, and you could tell immediately. I can tell nowadays because clothes. Clothes tell you a lot about the personality of the person. I can tell you this because you know what bell bottoms are? Yeah, some of us that are a little older than 30 do. We know what a bell bottom is. They come back around, though, I noticed, even a decade ago. So even other people got introduced to that terrible, terrible fashion. I just think it's terrible. My parents did it, so it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, gosh. When I see it, it reminds me of my mom. Bell bottoms, the long hair, the blue jeans stuff, I'm just like, oh, Lord. I'll still take it 10 times before skinny pants. But anyway. Yeah, you got no, that'll get as many amens as anybody has ever seen skinny jeans on a guy. Help us, Lord. Anyway, with the fashion that people wear, you can tell a lot about where they're at. When I was young, when I was a little kid, believe it or not, this was the fashion. Okay, I'm going to explain it to you. This is what was cool. Let me say this right. This is what was cool. When I was a kid, little kid, 6, 7 years old, walking around with a boombox, a big, back in those days, the boomboxes weren't like boomboxes. I'm talking about you had to have your arm in full extension, and you were carrying something that was the size of a small car. That's when I was young. I'm just telling you when I was young. It took like 100 D batteries to get the thing to run. I'm just telling you, this is what I've seen people doing it. You would have on a trashy looking, some version of a tie-dye looking shirt or a grayed out Metallica looking Rock Bandy shirt. And then your jeans had to be some version of a bell bottom. That's when I was little. Okay, I was little. That's what people wore, the cool people. You'd see them walking down the street and you're like, I never did think that was cool. I just thought that guy thinks he's cool. Right? Because this was what people did. I watched that. You ever remember the generation of baggy clothes? The baggy jeans? It's like tight jeans, but the other way. It doesn't take a jeans to figure it out. They can barely hang on you. If you can see somebody's boxers when they're standing there, they're doing that fad, the baggy jean fad. I remember that. I remember that fashion. So when you saw somebody in it, you're like, oh, I know where you're coming from. I get where you're at. Well, these kids had the very obvious look of the current trend of fashion. I'm not going to popularize it anymore, and it is, because I'm going to be happy to see it go. But it was some of those pants I just talked about. Well, they were wearing it, and one of them had a football, and they're walking across the street, walking across Bruce B. Downs. And while they're walking across it, the grandpa's walking like a human being, normal person, like an adult, with both feet, just walking. But the two young, hip kids were like flopping around the thing, throwing the football in the air, stepping back a few steps, and you could see the grandfather was like, oh, Lord, just help us get through this intersection and on to the next destination. You could tell those kids, if they could take a snapshot of themselves there, just in the intersection, and look at it in a couple decades, they'd be like, oh. You know, when I was in the world, I thought it was so cool that I could make a phone call and get 50 young people together, and we'd all sit there, drink alcohol, drugs, play games, run around, have a party in the middle of nowhere, and I could just call it up. I thought, man, how cool is this? I have so many friends. You know, the world's tricky that way. Yeah. Come on. If you've ever been through a relationship where the other person hurt you, Yeah, said everybody that's ever been in a relationship. Yeah. I have a hard time with this with people because other human beings will hurt you. Not can hurt you, will hurt you.
Sure.
Will hurt you. You know what I'm saying? Another human being will fail you.
Yeah.
Humans are great at it. Very good at it. How about your best friend? Not my best friend. How many best friends do you have from when you were 10? Yeah, and you know who the best friend is that you have from when you were young? Somebody you don't spend every day with.
Yeah.
Because the people around you in your life regularly will disappoint you so much. Your best friend, your best friend, like I have a friend that I've had since I was 18. That's probably my oldest friend that I have. And that friend I'm really good friends with because I don't see him hardly ever. We're still great friends. And I've learned that I don't care what you say anymore. Now I'm just keeping you so that you're a longtime friend. So if you mess things up, we're staying friends. Because I just don't care enough to stop this friendship over anything you might say or do. I'm done with that part. But I'll tell you what, when you get hurt a few times, you're going to find out what it's like to get over a hurt. And you're going to find out that you're going to feel alone. If you've ever been betrayed, you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel like nobody's there for you. If you've ever put your trust in somebody and they've stabbed you in the back, you have a lot of growing up to do type thing. You're going to feel like you're betrayed, just that feeling of hopeless, helpless, I can't do. And what I'm telling you is God wants to help you hit the point where you're not that person,
yes.
Where you're not the I'm going to constantly hurt those around me.
Yes.
You know, when I got delivered, I needed full delivered. I tell people, you maybe need a partial deliver. I need a full-on overhaul. God needed to go in, work in the DNA first, structure me back up from the inside out, and help me. I went around speaking the gospel because it was all that God put in me, and I didn't want what I had put in me.
Yeah, amen.
So I started, within my first few months, I started speaking about God because I needed him.
Yeah.
And people that know me know this. I'm not very religious. I don't hate people that are religious or anything. I'm just not religious. I personally am not a religious person. I'm a Christian, but I'm not very religious.
Come on.
In other words, I don't like the religious-y stuff. I have friends in every denomination, guys. My wife was raised Catholic. I have people that kissed rings and counted beads and did all that kind of stuff that were around me, but I'm just not that person. I'm a relationship-driven Christian. And if people say this, modern day you hear it more often than not, but I'm saying it for a reason because God's whole point here was to get you to have a relationship along the journey. God is not interested in giving Abraham his Isaac right away and then giving Abraham his inheritance right away. He's letting Abraham mature and grow up so that when he does get the Isaac, he can handle him. When he does mature up, he's going to take hold of his promise and his inheritance and the offspring, right? But God wanted a relationship with Abraham the whole time. It takes a while to learn this as you grow up. But God didn't give David. You know David was anointed by God?
Yep.
By the man of God on the planet, anointed king. And you know what he did the next day? That's right, went out and took care of sheep.
Yeah, he sure did.
What's the deal, God?
Come on.
How about Moses? You remember the story of Moses, right? All the smooth sailing. Remember how he got to go deliver the people from Egypt and then he got to go back to his life, live the way he was before the burning bush? Oh, yeah, that's right. No, he died in an unknown place.
Come on.
So nobody would worship him.
Come on.
God buried him.
Come on.
Cool story that God buried you. I mean,
yeah, that's cool.
I've been to a lot of funerals. It's pretty cool when God buries you, especially if he's doing it for that kind of a purpose. But God didn't give Moses his inheritance day one. God gave it to him throughout his life as he was ready, as he was matured enough for it, each step of the way. God wanted him to be mature. He wanted him to be established. He wanted him to be ready before he was going to give him that reward, that next thing. He needed to be. God wants to have a relationship with you throughout the journey, throughout the whole process, throughout every step as you go. He's trying to get you to keep coming to him. And you may sit there going, well, God, why not just make your people the people that don't have any problems?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Because God wants you to come to him, guys. He wants relationship.
Amen.
He wants you to be able to tell somebody else the story of how when something came your way, you went to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you trust him. And I love the fact that sometimes it is not going to work the way you want or right away. But God will always, listen to what I'm saying, he'll always be there for you. The Bible says he'll never leave or forsake you. And even in the moments you left him, He stayed with you.
Yeah.
This is one of the coolest things. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago, and it was a Christian person by their confession that they were Christian. And so I was talking with them as that, and this person had doubt and unbelief and worry. And you know what happens when you've been beat by a couple sticks? You get that. You ever seen a dog that was damaged and scared of people? I have. You ever seen an animal that was abused? I have. You ever met a human being that was that way? I have. And they're skittish of allowing anything in. It's so common, guys, that it's in movies. You ever seen a romance movie where one of the people is not, I just have a hard time saying I love you, or I just have a hard time letting you in, or I'm... It's like that common. It's everywhere. Everybody knows it. Like, it's just who I am. I have this thing. It's called a shell. If you want to experience what it's like, you go over to that thing right there. It's called a wall. You can't go through it without a door. And that's the way that your life becomes when you start taking offenses and build them up. You start taking hurts and you build them up. You start taking your pains. You start taking your failures. You start taking what... You can do this with your own parents. Oh, my mom and my dad, they build up a little wall in between you guys. Do this with your spouse. Let me just build up some things that bother me about you, some areas you've failed me. You know, there's an old saying that opposites attract, and then you get married, and then opposites attack. That's the way things tend to actually be. You know, in the beginning, they attract, and everything is, oh, it's wonderful, and oh, I know, they're just not like me at all. It's great. Then you get married, and it's all of a sudden, I can't stand it. You don't know that they're nothing like me. They don't put their stuff where I put my stuff, and they look awesome. Yeah, they're beautiful people, but try and live with them. Like, as soon as you live with that person, you know why his and her sinks exist? Because of every man that's ever learned, wait, there's more than just a comb in the bathroom? What use is the other stuff? I know this from personal experience that there's a lot of other stuff. I still don't know what it all does. But there's a lot of stuff. I'm very grateful that there's a his and her sink at my house now, too, because my wife has stuff. She has the level of stuff that I have in coffee. I have coffee paraphernalia at my house. Coffee everything. I have all kinds of coffee machines. I like coffee things. She has to put up with that. She could be like, listen, I like coffee, but you have a problem. You need to lay off the coffee. I don't actually have a problem. It's a wonderful blessing. Where's my coffee? No. Anyway... So what I'm saying is there can be these moments where this thing that seemed good turns on you. Have you ever had that? It turns on you, and all of a sudden that same good thing, oh, man, so happy. I'm so happy with this person. Yeah, that same person, you just flash forward months or a year, and you're like, I can't stand this person. Always on my nerves, this one. Always. Listen to what they're saying to me. You know, listen to how they treat me. Listen to what they do. They don't even care. Threw out my favorite thing. Don't care about all stuff I love. That's not possible. Oh. Listen, I've been doing counsel for decades. I have heard a few stories. And so many of them are so common that when somebody starts it, I'm like, oh, let me stop you. Let me stop you. Yeah, that's not just you, honey. That's in everybody. That's in everybody. That's all human beings failing you, and you're just waking up and realizing that beautiful love of your life was also hard to live with. It's because they're another human. There's somebody else. They wanted some of my room in my closet. Well, you live with that person. Spouses get that right. No, but they wanted all of it. Like, I understand. You know, I'm more of the problem than my wife in that regard. We probably share it 50-50. But we have a big closet just to be able to do that. Because I have shoes, too. You know, I'm a shoe guy as well. Thank you, God, for deliverance on some of these little things that my wife still puts up with me. She loves me even, past putting up with me. But she's had many, many times, I'm sure, where she's like, God, this man, right? Not the man I chased. This man you gave me. What did you give me? What was the deal with this guy? I know that she's had those moments. Everybody has those moments where you're going, here's how it starts. Did I make a mistake? Like, that person might have, but you probably didn't. Like, you're being a mistake, you know, right now. But everybody's had that moment where you feel that way. People call it cold feet. It doesn't stop at the, if anybody who thinks it stops at a wedding, like, you ever had that cold feet feeling? Yeah. I've been there at weddings, quite a few weddings. And I've watched people that deal with that realization of the great commitment they're about to make. But if you think it stops at the wedding, you're crazy. It just stops being talked about at the wedding. After that, it becomes counseling. It becomes a counsel issue, right? It's no longer a cold feet. It's like, so how do we fix this thing? Is this fixable? Is this something that's ruined? Let's go back to the Bible for a second. Now, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, we're not going to go back to the beginning and start reading there. I'm just going to explain this point. The devil tried to come like a serpent and convince Adam and Eve that God was hiding something back from them. That God, who loved them, created them, gave them everything, remember, told them where the gold was. If somebody came to your house and you're like, hey, I have a jewelry box in my room. It's got the best stuff I have in the house. So if you ever want to steal from me, it's right in there. You would never do that, right? God said, here's where the gold is, down this river. There's where the perfume is down that river. You know, this is where the best stuff is. All these trees are all yours. All the animals, go ahead and name them. I'm giving you it all. Yeah. I'm keeping one tree so I have a tithe. I have a piece that's mine and your stuff. I'm giving you everything. I want one thing that's mine. Don't touch it. And the devil tried to convince them that this magic tree, this super magic tree, you notice God didn't take that tree back up in heaven with him. Because the tree was about sin anyway. It was give me my thing. Yep. Anybody who wonders, like, I wonder if that fruit was just so amazing, like so good that you bit it and it had to, I wonder if it was like a weird hybrid pear, grape, apple thing or what was that? Like, I guarantee you that was just a regular old piece of just regular nothing. Yep. It was the sin that got birthed in them.
Come on.
You see what it did to man. But the devil tried to convince them, convince man of something. And I'm telling you this for a reason. The devil is still trying to convince human beings of stupid things.
Yep.
He is trying to convince you that there's no God. He's trying to convince you that there's no solution and no answer. He's trying to convince you that because you failed somewhere, you will fail every time. He's trying to convince you that you're a broken person, that you're an unfixable person, that you're an unlovable person, that you have so many mistakes that you can't be loved by other people or you don't deserve to be. He's trying to convince you that you are the problem. This is the devil. He's trying to convince you that God is not bringing good things or that God does not actually exist. And listen, I'm speaking from the perspective of somebody who spent a long time in the world acting cool in the world's eyes. As the generation when I was old enough to be in the world was the stupid baggy clothes generation. I'm sad to say, but it is where I lived when I was doing the gang-related things I did. It was colors were important. God knows if they're still doing that with gangs anymore. But back when I was younger and in my teens, they were. It was the style that you did then. And along with that style, because I was a womanizer, I had other styles like the more tight leg Calvin Klein looking blue jean, wear a cowboy boot for when you needed to chase that girl, and the wear all black with a trench coat jacket down to the ground when you needed to chase that girl. And I had my hunting clothes for what I hunted. Yeah, I was that good. I was that much of a not a problem. No, I told you I needed deliverance.
Yeah, amen.
I needed full-on deliverance. We all need it. I had no problem admitting it. You know, I thought I was so cool. I thought I was so together. I had a whole group of people that would follow me and listen to me and that would come to me constantly. I had drug dealers that dealt different drugs that had it all around the place. I had systems that worked out to pay me money, so I had rolls of cash in my pocket. And I remember my oldest sibling coming to me saying, you don't know what's going on in life yet. And I pulled out a roll of hundreds that was about that thick, and I had baggy jeans, so it hid right away in my jeans. I said, oh, really? He said, how do you get that much money? I said, it's none of your business. Put it back in my pocket. I was done listening to him. You don't know what you're doing. I have money. And money doesn't mean anything. Having more of a tool and having more of finances does not mean anything, guys. There's a lot of very successful, very tormented people on this planet. If you think more money is your answer, you made a mistake. I go back to the drawing board and figure out money's not it. But I will tell you something. Even rich people wish they had more of this. Peace.
Yes. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Now, when I was messed up in the world, I had a whole lot of maturing to do. I had a whole lot of growing up to do, and I did not know anything. I really thought I did. I really thought I did. I did not. When God got a hold of my life and he shook me awake, I tell people this story all the time, but I was in a car at night going to visit some girls, and I had DMX blasting on some big speakers in a BMW, and it was like I had 15s with thousands of watts. I don't mean little speakers. I should have probably had rubber on my windshield. This was the thing back then. Don't look at me weird. This is what people did. Now you're like, you were that obnoxious one guy that still exists in society that comes through my neighborhood every once. Yeah, I was, except everybody was doing it. I had that going in DMX. Well, I shouldn't say that. God spoke to me in DMX's voice and said my name, and it freaked me out. And I jumped out the car, and I'm like, I know DMX does not know my name. So I was freaked out, and I got in. And this is how old this was. I rewound the CD. The CD is a circular thing. People used to listen to music on them. It's just for the people that are under 30. What's the CD again? Those were things that people used to use to listen to music after those weird things that were like this, after the weirder things that were like this. I was around for all of them because my dad had an old 8-track player. Anyway, let's not get back on that. I rewound the CD and I was listening and it wasn't there and I'm like, oh, thank God, it's just a drug flashback. If you don't know what that is, thank God that you don't. I do. It's unfortunate, but I do. So I thought, oh, it's just a flashback of drugs, maybe a little LSD from before mixed with a little who knows what else I had. Maybe that's all it was. All right. And I got back in my car and I sat down and I was still freaked out. If you've ever been freaked out, it doesn't go away as soon as you're like, all right, it wasn't there. It's not a big thing. Freaked out can sit with you. Okay? When you're shaking, you know, the hairs go up in the back of your neck, that sits with you for a little bit. You don't just immediately go, oh, I'm just going to see the people. No, you don't. You take a break. And I was sitting there and I was freaked out and I rewound it again and it wasn't there. And so I was playing. And after the point to which it was, that voice, DMX's voice, but God speaking to me, said my full name this time. It was like, let me get your full-on attention. I don't want you to wonder if there's a John somewhere out there in the world. DMX is just going to talk to John for a second. This is a Jonathan Weiss moment. And God told me to go and tell the people that he was real. And I thought, well, God, there's plenty of people to do that. You know, actually what I thought was, God's real? What am I do now? I stood out of the car, and I called one of my best drug dealer friends that was one of my guys, not a guy I got, a guy that... So I called him, and I said, everything just changed. I'm standing in the dark at night outside of a house. Everything just changed. He said, I just saw a weird light out over my car not 2 minutes ago, and it was just sitting over my car in the dark. And he said, I got this weird feeling I need to go to church. This guy had never even been to a church. Didn't know this wasn't a backslidden Christian like you get all the time nowadays. I'm talking about a never been to church person decided, I think I need to go to church. My drug dealer guy, my trusted friend. I said, yeah, we're going to go to church tomorrow. I don't even know where. We're just going to find a church and go, but we're going tomorrow. I went into the house where the girls were, and we had a little mini revival in a house that was not supposed to be a revival. We laid on the ground, and we found a CD of Hillsong's Shout to the Lord. It was the only song I know that was on it, because that's all we played. And we laid on the floor in the living room on our backs, playing the song over and over. It's a thing you used to be able to do on a CD player, is flip the little thing, and it'd just keep playing. And we'd sit there listening to the fancy ones. We were listening to that song, and we listened to it for hours and hours into the night, every once in a while just crying out a prayer before God. What weirdo thing for a guy who was violent, a guy who was aggressive, a guy who was a hunter, a womanizer, a guy who was messed up like me, to be sitting here laying out before God, praying to God, talking with God, talking about God. You hear what I'm saying? It was a breakthrough for me, a revelation for me. And when we showed up to church the next day, it was my father's church, and he was having a conference in, and we didn't know that. And I sat in the back, because guess what my church clothes look like? If you saw me in a church nowadays, I'd be the guy that people didn't sit right next to. You know, who's the guy with all the tattoos, the baggy clothes, and it looks like problems waiting to happen? That's me. Come and sit by me. Who's the guy that looks like, you know, he'll beat you up by looking at you funny? Like, I was bad. I was a bad, mean guy. And I'm not anymore. I'm saying that I'm bragging big on myself of all the good and bad, but I do that a lot because I want you to understand, if God can work in me, guys, get me to church. I remember that me and my drug dealer were there. He's married to my sister, if you're wondering. I love that story. He's married to my sister, serving in the church in the north right now. Fully redeemed. You know, send him pictures. I sent him a picture just the other day when it was 85 degrees and I was done playing tennis. Took a picture of me like this, getting ready to get in my pool. I don't know if I did that for a good thing or not, but... but we got called out of that church. Out of all the people that were there, you got hundreds of people sitting there, and we got, hey, you two. And we did stand out, but you two, come here. And it was one of my great fathers in the faith that called us up. Dr. Roy Hicks and Dr. George Evans were there. And he called me up. We have it recorded, thank God. I even still have the recording of him speaking his word. And he set us right into what we were going to go do. And ever since that moment, I tried to work for God, do for God, speak for God, everything that I knew. I got into studying. I got into Bible school. I did 8 years of that to try and learn. I went and studied and chased after men and women that knew God. Because guess what, guys? I want to know God, not just know about. I don't want to know just the stories. I don't want somebody who can just tell me more Bible stories. I want somebody who can introduce me to the person of Jesus Christ. I want to know him. I told God that first year, I said, God, if anybody on this planet hears you, hears your voice for real, let that be me this year. If anybody on this planet sees something you do, sees a miracle, or there's a sign and wonder, I want to be the somebody. Because if you really exist, I need to see it happening. And I chased God for that year. I still tell people, why don't you test God in these things? He says so. Why don't you? Why don't you give God a year and really chase him? Why don't you try actually praying? Have you ever done that and waited on God? Because God will not fall short. He will not disappoint. He will not show up empty-handed. He will be there. Amen. Full on in time. And if you'll pay attention, you'll hear him. You hear what I said? It's scary how many people don't because they can't shut up long enough too. Most people think prayer is just them talking. I don't even know how I could pray for 10 minutes. Listen, brother, sister, I know you can talk for more than 10 minutes. You could pray for 5 minutes and then shut up for five. Come on. What kind of prayer is that? The best kind.
Come on.
I'm giving you some wisdom now this morning. It's the best kind. Learn how to shut your mouth up and listen to God. And one of my favorite things, Kenneth Hagin said this, and I still love it. He says, see this? This is the word of God. This is God speaking to you. You want to get a word from God? Try reading this out loud in your own ears and hear the word of God from God for you. Who's ever heard God's voice here? You want to hear his voice? Speak his word. Give his word a voice. It's very powerful. Doesn't mean you'll never hear his voice any other way. But when he said that, it's an old, if you don't know who Kenneth E. Hagin is, look it up. Very powerful. But what I'm trying to tell you this morning is if you will mature, if you'll grow up, if you'll be willing to take it a step at a time. I was not ready or seasoned back then. I'd still, you guys have heard the testimony. I grabbed sound men, threw windows, and put their face on the sound thing because I thought, that's how I did it in the world. You get a little aggression, you get some great responses from people. They'll be right on the buzzer after this. Like, I remember grabbing deacons and being like, let's go outside. And my dad was like, you don't do that. And I'm like, well, how do you deal with people when they're acting like this? This is how I was used to it. Like, it took years, guys. I was slow. Not unteachable, but I was slow. I needed work. God turned me into something that he could use.
Amen.
And he wants to do the same for you. If he can do it with a mess like me, I was a fantastic mess. Fantastic. I was like a full-on crash, not a little bump. It was just a wreck of a life, and God turned me around. And now here in this place, it is so exciting to me that we're going to launch this church at the end of the year. I've launched a lot of churches, guys. I've helped plant dozens and dozens of churches around the world. Being able to be here in Florida where God's saying, plant a base, and we're going to go out from here, a new kind of base. We have a northern base that my father pastors up there, and we have churches, but a base here in Florida to go out into the world from. A base here in Florida that we're going to go and reach out to the uttermost, Jerusalem, Judea, the uttermost. It's so exciting to me that we get to start even in this building. You know, I met with the other pastor who has a Spanish church that meets here in this building, and we're both excited about what God's going to do.
Yeah.
It's very exciting about this place and time, because this is not our end goal building. We didn't design all of this building or pick out any of it, but the next stage of what we do, God is going to do great things with as well. And the next property and building that we're going to put up as we launch this ministry is going to be awesome. And the next steps that God takes us, you're going to see excellence and his blessing move, and you're going to see the church and congregation grow. You guys, we're all here day one, first time in this building. We're blessed that we get to be here, thank God. But you're all here in the first moment before we even have worked out all the kinks and gotten everything situated. But as we do, you're going to see the people are going to come. The lives are going to get touched. We don't care about the numbers for the numbers. I preach to 10 and I preach to thousands, and I could really, it's easier to preach to 10 if I'm honest with you. It's a little nerve-wracking when there's thousands. If you've never been there, just trust me. I'm very confident, and I don't normally care what people think, but if you stand in front of thousands, it can get you. What I'm going to tell you is here, regardless of the number, my interest is souls. My interest is crowns for the feet of Jesus. That is purely it. I'm not interested in fame. I'm not interested in fortune. I can get a lot richer doing things than a ministry. I have businesses. That's great. Business is work. If that was all God called me to, I'd be like, I'm getting a condo on the beach somewhere. Like, let's go have some businesses. It's something God has me doing, but ministry is the calling. So ministry is not a place I'm pulling money from. Ministry is a place I put money into. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? And ministry is important to me because it's reaching lost people, and that is the whole reason I want to still be here on this planet. I want to reach souls for Jesus Christ. I want to help other people have a wake-up moment that God just might be real. Get some other people to test God a little bit and go out and say to God, maybe while they lay there at night, God, are you real? Speak to me. And then just shut up and let him say something for a while. Maybe spend some time trying to seek him on your own so you can find him, or knock on the door a little bit yourself so he can open one, or ask a little bit yourself so he can answer you some. And I am still trying to inspire people this day to try God. Because he will show up. Yeah. Because he hasn't ever left. He's been right there, and he will be there the moment you try. He's still right there with you. Amen. If you've ever faced a hard thing, he's been there. If you've ever felt alone, you've never been alone. It doesn't matter how wicked you were. My worst days, he was still there. Amen? Amen. Well, I am excited, guys. Be praying. Be prepared. There's a lot that's going to be coming. We're going to have a whole lot of new things coming down the road in this ministry. We got a lot already started. We've got a lot of equipment and things. We need our praise and worship team situated. I don't know if you saw them this morning, but they're a very techie team. We need the rest of the praise and worship team to fill out the spots. I can't play all the instruments, but we need people stepping up and ready to march and shout. And I love praise and worship, and I love live worship better, and I love recorded, but I can deal with both. This morning, if you take away anything, take this away. When you are matured, God will give you in the right season everything that you need in that season. And he will bless you according to the level in which you are established and able of handling things. And God will absolutely do that. He will not hold it back from you when you're ready. He will give you the whole land. And it is God's land to give you. That means your financial breakthrough, God's land. The peace in your marriage, God's land. That success in your life, God's land. That peace in your mind, God's land. These are God's things, and he will give them to you. There are certain areas you might have to mature. There are certain things you might have to grow up, and you might have to stop doing some nasty stuff. But God will give you. He will absolutely give you your land. Now let's all stand up and pray. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are the God that heals, the Bible says. You're the God that mends. You're the God that is the Lord our God, our healer. The Bible says, by your stripes we are healed. And I pray right now, whether it is a mental, whether it is a physical, whether it is an emotional battle, wound, or hurt, or harm that has come to the people that are here, that you're the God that can come in and heal us. You can make us strong where the whole world goes, aren't you broken? And we say, no, I'm strong. How are you strong? Because my God is with me. God, thank you. You said you'll never leave or forsake us. Thank you, God, that you will be there as our defender, as our high tower, that you are there as our healer. The Bible says that you will come. We will call you. You will come and you will heal us. The Bible said you'll put none of the diseases of Egypt on us. The Bible says that by our stripes we are healed. And we just claim right now, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, that you're the healer, God, in bodies, minds, hearts. God, I just pray that right now you do a mending work here in us. Help prepare us for the next step, the next stages of what it is that you're going to do. Prepare us for the next door that we're going to walk through, the next step we're going to step up, the next call that you've given us, for the places in the promised land, for the battles we'll fight. God, help us to be ready so we can charge a Goliath like a David instead of sitting in a hole like one of the scared soldiers. Lord, thank you that you are our God. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're here for us this morning. I pray that as we go out from this place, you go with us. Watch over us. Keep a seed inside of our heart from this message that we know maybe somebody here will go by themselves and just pray and say, God, I might need you as a backup because I don't know that I can trust everybody around me. But if I can trust you, then I can trust everybody. Because even if they fail me, I know you won't. Even if they leave me, I know you won't. So I can still trust them. I can still believe them because I believe you. Help us be stronger because of you, God. Help us reach out and help the people that are here to go and get that relationship you're so big on. Lord Jesus, the relationship, the back and forth, come to get to know you that you're so big on. Show up strong in our lives, God. Help us to leave better than when we came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.